Good morning. What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome in to 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you for the next 3 hours. A lot to get into over the course of today's show. We're excited to have you a part of the proceeding. If you would like to involve yourself further, you can do that. 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. Lot of Titans to get into. They'll take the practice field today. Their opponent, the Buffalo Bills, on Monday Night Football. It seems a near impossible task, but we'll talk about that at length. Some moves that they made yesterday to strengthen the depth, and one that is going to cost them a precious spot on the offensive line. A guy who's played in 4 of the 5 games so far this season, started one. It's been the one game that he did start, Ty Sambrello, a part of the offensive line responsible for Derrick Henry's 182-yard overtime rushing performance in Seattle. So why don't we just start there, shall we? And I'm getting texts, tell Lucas it's Sambrello, not Sambrello. So you're already being criticized for your update this morning. Lucas Panzeca behind the glass making everything happen. So I'm happy that my morning starts with criticism of you, because for the most part, my Twitter mentions have largely been criticism of me today.
How do you pronounce it?
I pronounce it Sambrello.
How does Ty pronounce it?
Sambrello.
Okay, then we're good.
Okay, very good. You're going to be all right. Also, I think you copy and pasted something directly off of Preds press release. Got a piece of business done, or what did that say? That sounds like something I read.
It was. That's exactly what it was. Well, it was off a tweet. It was a reported tweet from Elliot Friedman, an NHL reporter.
Why are you lying to people?
Did I lie?
I think so. They think I'm lying to them. That's how my day started today. So let's get into it, shall we? So Ty Sambrello, among the list of moves that was made yesterday for the Titans as far as personnel is concerned, Ty Sambrello, who's been a swing tackle and a good one for this football team for the past season and 5 games, signed in 2020, played in 4 of the 5 games this season, and now he is on the reserve retired list. The person who is texting me, it's not like I'm trying to do a live radio show. I'm getting texts about our pronunciation about Sambrello. Let me just get through the conversation. Can we? Can we please? Everybody settle down. Relax. It's going to be okay. Sit back and enjoy, as I have done all morning long. But Sambrello, however the hell, he's not playing for the Titans anymore. He's on the reserve retired list. And so I had gotten a tip about this, and I'll walk people through it. And if you want to ask questions about this, because people did have questions today, and that's fine. I'm happy to answer them throughout the course of today's show, 615-737-1045, or in the Zone TV chat, if you would like to interact that way. You're welcome to do so. So, for the purposes of this, I got a tip on, I think that was Monday, that Ty Sambrello wanted to quit. And the reasons for why he wanted to quit this team were unknown to me. So I did a little digging, and it turned out that it's multifaceted. Because it's not just one situation that causes a man who's getting an NFL-sized paycheck to retire a little more than a quarter of the way through another NFL season. He was unhappy here. He felt that in certain situations, he just didn't gel with the offensive line room. Keith Carter, the offensive line coach who spoke to the media yesterday, he is somebody who I've always enjoyed my interactions with Keith Carter, but as a coach, he can grade on people. And that's been the reaction from a lot of people who have played for Keith Carter over the past couple of years, at least during his time here in Nashville. And also, he wasn't crazy about the idea, which is interesting, given that his role was as swing tackle and primarily backup, that he was having to bail Taylor Lewan out in certain situations, which by definition of the word and the term backup, you know, that's kind of in the job description, right? Be ready to play. If you're going to be on the active roster, be ready to play. But what factors into that further is he didn't physically feel like he was ready to play just yet. And all of that combined into a situation that caused Ty Sambrello, or Sambrello, to no longer want to be with the Tennessee Titans. And so the biggest question that I've got today is why there were no direct quotes, even if they were from anonymous sources. People just want that, I guess, to make them feel better about this particular situation. And I thought I outlined pretty clearly that it was no surprise to people in the building, and that would be indicative enough to tell people how the information was being disseminated. So nobody was really surprised by this with the Tennessee Titans. Now it comes as a shock to the fan base. And by the way, it comes at a position that you desperately need help at right now. They are one of the worst offensive lines in the sport as it relates to pass protection. They are perilously thin as far as their depth is concerned. Now, what Keith Carter said yesterday in his Zoom interview with us media, and I wasn't able to be in there for the entirety of it. I ducked in during one of the commercial breaks yesterday because they do a lot of their media availability while we're on the air. Not ideal, but we make it work. And so what he was talking about when I jumped in the Zoom was, yeah, Dylan Raiden's opportunity is going to be coming up here pretty soon. And sure enough, Ty Sambrello goes on the reserve retired list, and now that opens the door and, frankly, makes it a necessity that your rookie second round pick factor into the active 46-man game day roster in some way, shape, or form. This is a complicated situation. And by the way, it's been pretty tense over there. And the Jets' loss has kind of started to bring a lot more of that to the forefront. Now, winning covers up everything, right? They went through a stretch of this in 2019 when the team started 2-4. They were not a happy team. They were not they were not necessarily thrilled to be around one another, not just talking about the players, but just in general. It was not a comfortable building to be in at the start of that 2019 run. And then they got things corrected, and Arthur Smith found his stride, and Derrick Henry takes over and becomes the most unstoppable thing in all of football. Maybe Tyreek Hill. You could have a conversation about that, but I'm not here to debate just yet. So it's not like everything is always good inside of a locker. It's like any workplace environment, frankly. Lucas, do you wake up every day loving me the way that I think that you love me?
No, I hate you. So it's very similar.
It's true. Do you always, for you listening at home or in your car or via the app or via the podcast, do you always like your boss when you go into work? Probably not. I've worked for people that I don't particularly like or respect throughout the course of my career. I have worked with people who I love and adore and who I appreciate having my back. There are very different kind of superiors in this world. But you don't always go into your workplace environment loving it. In fact, I would venture a guess that most of you don't. So why is it surprising to people that it's not all rainbows and butterflies and sunshine out each other's, you know, let me not get too close to the FCC line here today. But you know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's an office setting too, right? Like rooms, film rooms.
Yeah.
It's basically an office setting.
And
things aren't always going to go smoothly.
Meeting rooms and film rooms where, you know, the person directing the meeting is very comfortable mother bleeping you to your face about that block you missed on 3rd and 2. You know what I'm saying?
HR isn't as involved.
No, not quite. It exists, but it's somewhere deep, deep within the bowels of the facility. Yeah, ask John Gruden, right? Just don't put it in an email. So what I'm saying for people who are upset by the news about this is there are a variety of questions that result out of this. One, first and foremost, for the team's sustainability, how do they address the issues? Because the offensive line was an issue before they lost their best depth piece along that offensive line. How does that get corrected? Two, how do they iron things out within the building? Because if the players aren't happy with their coach right now, well, is that okay? Because I'm sure many people have played high school football or college football at some level and been not the biggest fan of the coach, of the position coach that they play for. It shouldn't be shocking to anybody. In fact, I think I hated almost all of my high school football coaches. Like, there were very rare moments where I liked them. And mostly it came at team dinners when we were being fed free food. That's about the extent of my love for high school football coaches. Or at least mine. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. We'll continue to talk about this. We'll talk about how the Titans need to address the offensive line. If you have questions regarding the Ty Sambrello situation, I'll answer as much as I am physically capable of doing, and I welcome those conversations. And we'll get into it at length. We've got a lot to talk about over the course of today's show. Stick around. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
G. Martin Ramon.
Oh, man.
All right, so Lucas wanted to start over the show because of how badly. It's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, yeah, you're innocent in all this?
100%. So he blew his update. Literally three things. He got the credit on the play-by-play wrong the first time. He can't pronounce Ty Sambrylo's name. Did I say it right?
Yeah. I mean, you pronounced it a litany of times wrong as well in the first
time. Sambrylo. So mispronunciations, improper credit, flat-out plagiarizing Elliot Friedman's tweet for the purposes of your laziness. So now we have to start the show.
Well, the credit thing, I'm blaming Schaefer because I walked in. He said, I've got Chip Carey's call right here on Audition. And, you know, look, I don't listen to the Braves that often, all right? I'm not a Braves fan, so I don't know the nuances between Chip Carey and Ben Ingram. They both do a good job, but I fixed it. I fixed it.
Debatable. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. So we've reset the show. No fault of my own. Lucas is corrected all of his ills, and now we've done the update and the start of the show justice, even though I thought I started just fine.
No, no, accountability here is important. You also mispronounced Ty Sambrylo's name.
Sambrylo. That is the name of the offensive tackle that is retired from the Tennessee Titans this season. Buck, get off the back of Lucas, says SSJ Titan X. No, I will not.
Damn right.
No, I will not, because he needs to be better. Literally. He is the most likable person in the world because he does a show with me, all right? Do you understand how easy he gets it? Because the whole construct of this thing is set up to for people to not like me. That's the whole deal. That's the bit. That's what we're doing. And I'll take it. I'm happy with that. I'm fine with it. I thrive off of it. It's this most sadistic thing about me. But this idiot who throws a grenade out from my Twitter account and then then just scampers off into the shadows. This man, I am not going to take it easy on. Absolutely not.
See, this is workplace tension. This is what we're talking about here.
Oh, look at you transition. Yeah, we're talking about the situation with Ty Sambrylo and how he came to retire and what the thought process for him was as far as retiring from the Tennessee Titans in the middle of the season. Now, you can read the report. It's up at AtoZSports.com. You are welcome to do so. That's where I do all of my writing and reporting on the Tennessee Titans postgame columns and all manner of good content there. You can check it out. I'm sure we'll have more to write after or through the course of this week, because I do think that there are some things that are going to be that are going to make Titans fans happy, because this report made you sad, or it made you angry, or it made you, you know, want to scream and shout, because all I hear throughout the course of the season is, why don't local reporters break more news? Local reporter breaks news. Bull bleep. That's basically the response on a day-to-day. And that's fine. You know, I don't care. There's only one person that I have issue with today, and I'll save that for the dumbest thing in sports, which comes your way at 11 o'clock. Now, in the meantime, some of you guys have questions about this particular situation. So let's start with Lee, who's in Nashville and wants to weigh in. Good morning, Lee.
Hey, Buck.
How are you?
Here's my question. I guess it doesn't matter who retires or whatever. Mm-hmm. What happens to their contract? Are they paid anymore, or is their contract null and void? I mean, what happens in a case like that?
Sure, and I appreciate the call, Lee, because that's obviously, you know, it's not just the next man up question. It's the financial impact of this situation. So if he had $1 million in salary this year, you prorate that over the 17 games, and he forfeits the final 12 games of salary. So he keeps what he's made on his I believe they get paid on Tuesdays is when the game check comes in. So what he has made throughout the course of the season, he gets to keep. What he forfeits by retiring is the remaining salary that he would have made over the next 12 regular season games. And of course, there will be no playoff bonuses if they make the playoffs for him. He will be just completely out of their financial situation at that point. Same thing with Malcolm Butler, right? Right before the Titans played the Cardinals in week one, Malcolm Butler went on the reserve retired list. Now, what this doesn't mean is that he's just outright done playing football. It's entirely possible that Malcolm Butler, and I don't know their personal situations or how much I mean, for Ty Sambrylo, health had a good bit to do with this, but what I'll say to you is they will not be able to play this season, but there is always the possibility that they could come back and play in the NFL after the season is concluded. It's just that they will no longer be able to participate once they go on that list for their team that year. So I hope that allows some clarification. But what do you do at this point? What do you do about the Titans' offensive line? Because he's played in 4 of the 5 games this year. Remember, he started in Seattle, and to date, it's the best rushing performance that the Titans have had through these 5 games. Now, it's also worth noting that the Titans' offensive line in kind of shambles right now, because what Mike Vrabel was asked about Monday, was the situation with Roger Saffold. Roger Saffold, who has been in and out of almost every game this season, dealing with a variety of different nicks and bruises and a concussion as of late, comes in and out of the lineup. Aaron Brewer has had to play substantial snaps. Last Sunday, it was Corey Levin. So Mike Vrabel was asked, hey, have you guys given any consideration to just kind of shutting him down for a minute? Like, IR is available to you for a short term if you believe that a couple of weeks off would give this guy the physical break that he requires. And this is what the head coach had to say.
We'll kind of look at that in this week and see how he feels and see where, we can do things that to help him or help the team. And certainly something that we have to look at. Appreciate his toughness and his ability to try to get back each and every week. That's something I know that he takes a lot of pride in. And we'll take a look at that this week.
So the pride thing, I totally understand, right? It's what got Bud Dupree out there to start the season. But also, it can be to the detriment of the player. Because we were trying to figure out a way to put this poll up on social media this morning, because we do the polls at the before every show. You can vote on them throughout the course of the show, and then they end after the show. And we update them for you, just to take the temperature of the people. They're very scientific, these polls, which I still maintain should be sponsored by Deja Vu, but we'll get to that another day. So we put this up there, at Buck Rising on Twitter, and I was trying to find the most appropriate way to phrase this, because I'm not going to accuse the Titans of doing things as a staff, be it coaching or the training staff, that is rushing players back too soon from injury. That's a pretty heavy allegation that you're bringing down. Now, in the case of Tyson Brailo, damn it.
There it is.
Damn it. Yeah, okay. I mean, Liam Neeson. Doesn't matter if I pronounce Ty's last name correctly any longer now that he's no longer on the team.
Yes.
Well, it's just a decency thing.
That's just you being obstinate, and I don't appreciate that from you or Liam, and I'll get to Liam later. But we put it up on Twitter because this felt like the best way to, not point fingers, but to try and get a legitimate temperature check from Titans fans about how they feel with the way that the Titans, under Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, have handled the return to play protocol of many players. And so we asked, is there a pattern of Titans players rushing back from injury too soon? Now, I'm not accusing the organization of doing that. I don't know enough to say one way or the other whether that is a part of their situation or not. Now, I will tell you that it is very, very common across the NFL for coaches to do what Mike Vrabel does, because Mike Vrabel tends to protect them to a fault by saying that they're not going to put timelines on things. They don't talk about injuries. They're not going to update us outside of the injury report based on what's happening, and in the case of Julio, they didn't even give an injury designation during a game. So when you look at all of that, you would say, well, it's been Mike Vrabel's position, and players like Taylor Lewan have spoken to this before. He greatly appreciates how much different the Tennessee Titans handle injuries and how soon players come back, how much different it is under Mike Vrabel than it was under the last coaching staff, under Mike Mularkey, under Ken Wisenhunt, who was the head coach when the Titans drafted Taylor Lewan here in the first round. He has spoken to that publicly, and he's not alone. Now, the Bud Dupree situation, where he's talking about, I probably got a little ahead of myself, and if I feel like I'm ready to go and they clear me to go, then I'm gonna want to go. But there also have to be certain buffers in place, because what's happening now with Bud Dupree is, you got a ton of snaps out of him in that first game. They play their outside linebackers, their starters, a very, very high percentage of the snaps. They've done it for the past couple of years. That was the whole thing in Shane Bowen's first year as the play caller. This is his first year as the full-time defensive coordinator. Was, yeah, we were going to look at ways, they're going to look at ways to get Harold Landry to play less snaps, to find Harold more help so they can take him off the field, keep him fresher, and thus create a more effective platooned pass rush situation. And then they didn't do that because the injuries dictated that they weren't able to. And when they tried, they got next to nothing out of guys like Derek Roberson, Wyatt Ray, and Tuzar Skipper, who it seems like I have some kind of personal vendetta against, but you know, them's the breaks. So with Bud, he plays, almost all of the snaps in week one against Arizona, against Seattle. He is on the field, but you can clearly tell that the way that he's running on the knee pregame, he just doesn't look quite right. And then he's active for week three against the Colts, but he doesn't play a snap, and now he has not played in the last three games, Indy, New York, and this past weekend in Jacksonville. So how do they create a better buffer system internally? Because the job of the coach is to say, hey, training staff, is this player physically able to go? They say, yes, okay. Vrabel then goes to the player. Hey, are you going to be able to go on Sunday? Player says yes because they are prideful, and they go, and maybe it's not in the best interest of the player. Now, that's the information that you can work off of, and I'm sure coaching staffs handle it differently across the league, and we don't know enough about the situation here in Tennessee. But Bud Dupree, a healthy Bud Dupree, is something the Titans desperately need right now, just as they desperately needed in 2019 a healthy Ryan Succop. Because that's another situation that you would cite and say, okay, they brought him back before he was ready, or he came back before he was ready. A decision was made to bring Ryan Succop back before he was ready. It spiraled. They had to put him back on injured reserve. They got rid of him. He ends up on the now defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he looks great. Jack Conklin, another instance of this, where Jack Conklin is physically ready to go at the start of the 2019 season coming off an ACL. He looks below average at best at right tackle. They have to shut him down again. Dennis Kelly comes in, plays well. People start to advocate for Dennis Kelly over Jack Conklin. And there are instances of this. Now, you're going to pinpoint the ones that you remember and not talk about all of the ones that they've done well to kind of slow play, right? It seems at this point they're being overly cautious with the entirety of the roster. And in fact, you know, I'm sure they weren't thrilled with how transparent Bud Dupree was about his particular situation. And I'm sure Bud's not crazy about the fact that he was out there before he was ready and that, you know, it's doing the analysis in retrospect, but that somebody didn't caution him more. I think that rather than identifying a pattern of behavior with the training staff and the coaching staff here in Tennessee, you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, and you have to say, okay, this has happened enough where perhaps they need a better buffer system. Now, you're not going to handle each situation perfectly every time, but at this point, with as many injuries as you have on this roster, lingering occurred earlier in the season, how many guys you've already had to place on IR, how many guys potentially may still go on IR as transactions begin to come down throughout the course of the week and you figure out who can go and who can't go and who may not be available for a longer stretch of time, well, the question then becomes, okay, how can we handle these situations better? And the answer right now is I don't necessarily think they have a good solution because it's just so widespread. The depth on this team was as big a question as anything about how much more improved the defense would be, whether they did enough to address the pass rush. Turns out they did, and they're getting great production out of Harold Landry consistent production out of Harold Landry at a high level that's allowing them to have this newfound pass rush that they seem to have discovered and is helping them affect games. But ultimately, when it comes down to how they need to further survive an expanded NFL regular season this year, a lot of teams are in this spot. I mean, for God's sakes, look at the New York Giants and how many offensive starters they're without. Their starting quarterback, their starting running back, like three starting offensive linemen. Teams across the league are in bad shape right now. It's not exclusive to the Titans. but you can continue to monitor the situation and say, okay, how much is this going to set them back because of the way that it was initially handled? That's the best way to do the analysis right now. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. RJ in Phoenix says, that's six games, Buck, but we get what you're saying. Six games regarding what? I don't necessarily, what sample size is he referencing there? Perhaps a little more context, RJ. What we're going to do coming up next, though, is we're going to talk about the situation for Dylan Raidens. Because with him on the roster and with the desperate need for the younger guys across the board, whether it's Elijah Molden, Caleb Farley, Dylan Raidens, what you're getting out of last year's rookie class, which we've talked about at great length, how much can they help themselves and how much can this rookie legitimately help them right now, given the fact that he's been unavailable? And it's probably going to come at a position that you may not expect. We'll talk about it coming up next. I'll tell you who, of course, we're referencing and where that change may come. On the other side, I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. Don't forget, dumbest thing in sports this week is coming up next. I have many things that I would like to address, one in particular. It's rare that I actually get pissed off by Twitter, but Twitter actually pissed me off today. And so we will light things aflame on the other side. But in the meantime, we have more Titans to discuss. 615-737-1045 is how you get in. What is your level of concern about the Titans and their depth right now, given the fact that Tyson Brailo, is retiring. I'm going to have to pay a bunch of fines to Home Street Home, which is okay. It goes to a good cause, but my wallet is hurting. Well, there it is. So they're also bringing in help at linebacker, reportedly. And we'll spend some more time on what Avery Williamson means for Rashawn Evans later in the show. Mike Vrabel's going to speak to the media. I'm sure he'll be asked questions about it. I'd be curious to see if Avery's made available today, because I haven't seen that transaction officially announced.
I don't think they've sent it out.
So I would be surprised. I would love to have him on the show. We will see if that is possible. But that has been reported by multiple sources that including Avery Williamson, who said, yeah, good to be home, tighten up.
Literally Avery Williamson.
On Twitter. So. Very good. Sources say. But for the purposes of the offensive line, so now is the opportunity that you have for Dylan Raidens to step up. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a first-round pick as well as your second-round pick this year to go along that offensive line? But alas, Isaiah Wilson remains. Is he still on the practice squad with the Giants?
I imagine if he had gotten cut, we would have seen it because it would have just infiltrated Titans Twitter. So
sure.
I don't think he's been cut.
But they have a ton of injuries on the offensive line right now. If he was going to be useful to them, would he not have been called up by now?
Yeah, he's still on the practice squad.
Okay. We will see how long the panda lasts. More power to him, honestly. But regardless, can't help the Titans. Not helping the Titans right now. And neither has Dylan Raidens to this point. So for the purposes of Dylan Raidens, where are those contributions going to come? Because I don't think you're going to take David Quessenberry out and move him. That doesn't seem the most productive situation. I think that the idea of an in-season acquisition, like a substantial one, because I see we didn't make the option of sign Mitchell Schwartz available to Titans fans to vote on the poll today, because I refuse to even acknowledge that particular situation. He's an old offensive tackle with back issues, and no other team in the NFL wants him either, so why would you? But for the purposes of Dylan Raidens, I think we may see his first contributions to the Titans come at left guard. Now, he played left tackle exclusively in college. They wanted him to play right guard, or they drafted him with the intention of playing right guard, unless they're looking at future Lawan replacements, which is also possible. You have David Quessenberry out there right now, so you're not going to disrupt that for the purposes of making two positions worse while trying to address one. But I think if Roger Saffold continues on this trajectory, that it may be in the best interest of the football team for the future, and by the future I mean for the rest of the season, down the stretch, when you need your big road grading left guard to be available, to be healthy, to sustain, then I think it may give Dylan Raidens an opportunity to slot in at a position that he's learning, albeit on the opposite side that he spent all of this offseason learning. Now, it's no small task, and it's clear that his learning curve has been more steep than your normal second-round pick might. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have potential. Doesn't mean that he can't turn into a good or a great player or at least a starter, a replacement-level player at some point in his career. But they need him to contribute in some form or fashion. So where that contribution comes from, you're not going to take Nate Davis off the field, even though his play has been below average, at least this season. It's disappointing because I thought he was on a really, really, I mean, as big a star turn as a right guard can have. And then this year, it's just been a mystery to me what's going on there. So ZW says, somehow promoting the third string tackle to starter instead of replacing the starter didn't seem like a good idea. Wasn't Quessenberry Dennis Kelly's backup, who was Jack Conklin's backup? Yes, that's accurate. And now he's your starter. Them's the breaks.
I mean, Conklin's backup was essentially Kelly, right, as the swing tackle on that playoff push team.
Are you just taking this position where you don't listen to the show anymore? Did I not just read that sentence?
I don't think you said it very concisely.
It's possible. I tend to wander. That may be good. That's probably fair criticism. Well, what Zach is saying, or ZW is saying on YouTube, wasn't Quessenberry Dennis Kelly's backup, who was Jack Conklin's backup. Yes, that statement is accurate. So the reason for the release of Dennis Kelly was financial, solely. Dennis Kelly was going to make a lot more money than Dennis Kelly needed to make this year, especially if you're going to try and go out and get Bud Dupree and Julio Jones. And even though their contributions have not been enough just yet, long term, those make more sense to help push your football team over the hump than it did retaining Dennis Kelly at a price that was above value for what Dennis is. And I love Dennis. I wish that Dennis was still here. Dennis was a great, great person to have on the show. And in fact, in his leaving statement, he also told me to suck it, Buck, if we recall that. I think we read that live on the air. It was a great surprise to me to see that while reading that into a microphone. But you're hurting without him right now. It's clearly affected some kind of chemistry along that group. And it sounds like that group isn't necessarily getting along. I shouldn't say getting along. Let me not be reckless with the way that I state that. Let me just say that it doesn't seem all too great in the offensive line room right now for the Tennessee Titans on the whole. So how you correct that dynamic and how you find ways, because what Carter said yesterday, Keith Carter speaking to the media via Zoom, is that, yeah, I think the injuries have played a big part in these guys not being able to develop the confidence that they need and gelling as a group. That matters. Consistency more than anything. And this is a group that has struggled with that consistency because they can't stay on the field altogether. Whether it be Saffold, Lawan, Ben Jones, God love them, they're tough. They keep trying to play through it, but it's just not getting it done at this point. Brandon Rushing says, Kelly is making a mil right now for Green Bay. Yeah, but if I recall, Dennis was going to make like 7 here in Tennessee. Now, maybe you could have cut him and tried to bring him back, but I don't think that would have been, frankly, good business, because you would take a little bit of a dead cap hit anyway. So Dennis would have ended up costing you more than $1 million, but every NFL team has dead cap money that they're trying to work around.
It was a year to the day, right? When he would, a year after he'd signed that 3-year deal that he was cut.
That's correct. And frankly, you didn't think Raidens was going to take this long. I don't think anybody thought that Dylan Raidens was going to take this long. No way to project that, but it's been not good enough at this point. The personnel decisions, coupled with this rash of injuries, has put you in an unenviable spot, and you're going against literally the best team in football right now. They're scoring more than anybody. They're tops in the league when it comes to points per game, and they're not allowing anybody to score on them. 12.8, a couple of shutouts, 2 shutouts through 5 games. Now, maybe those teams aren't very good, but it's all the same, the Texans and the Dolphins. It doesn't matter. They're scoring more than anybody, and they're allowing fewer points than anybody in the sport. And their defense is pretty nasty, too. You got a quarterback that can't stay upright. So Dylan Raidens needs to get Unfortunately for him, he needs to get thrown into the fire a little bit, Nate Davis style. It was rough going for Nate Davis early, but he certainly found a way to figure things out. And now, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on with Nate Davis. When we come back, dumbest thing in sports this week. If you want to get in early, do it. 615-737-1045. We'll tell you what ours is coming up next.